From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President attends the 11th National Congress of Hindu Dharma Students Association. Industry Minister says investment in industrial sector hits 122 trillion rupiahs. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo departed to special region of Yogyakarta province in a bid to attend the opening of Mahasabha, or the 11th National Congress of Hindu Dharma Students Association. Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media Affairs at the Presidential Secretariat, B. Mahmudin, said President Joko Widodo, on board of the Indonesian presidential aircraft, left Halim Perdana Kusuma Jakarta Air Base on Wednesday morning. Upon his arrival at the Adi Sucipto Air Base, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta Province, President Joko Widodo was welcomed by Governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. Mahasabha, or the 11th National Congress of Hindu Dharma Students Association, takes place from August 29 to September 3. Before attending the opening of Mahasabha, the President observed village fund program in Bendung Klontongan, Sendang Tirto Village, Sleman Regency. During the visit, President Jokowi was accompanied by Technology, Research and Higher Education Minister M. Nasir, Head of the Presidential Secretariat Heru Budi Hartono, Presidential Military Secretary Marsda Trisno Hendardi, and Commander of the Presidential Security Detail Major General Suhartono. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi is proud of Indonesian contingent achievements on the Asian Games 2018. After the 11th day, the Indonesian contingent has got 24 gold, 19 silver and 29 bronze medals. The number is much more than targeted by the government, that is only 16 gold medals and be on top 10. Yet, until Tuesday, Indonesian contingent stayed at the fourth position after China, which is on the top position, followed by Japan and South Korea on the second and third position, respectively. After watching badminton final for individual number in Istora, Senayan, Jakarta, Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi says that the Indonesian achievement on the four-year multi-event sport in Asia is amazing due to the athletes, coaches, and organizers' hard work who support each other to give the best. Minister of Youth and Sport is sure that the chance to get more medals is still open on the last days, remembering that there are still many sports which could contribute medals for Indonesia.
Alhamdulillah, semua ini adalah anugerah yang luar biasa dari Allah Subhanahu wa taala kepada bangsa Indonesia, di mana seluruh perjuangan.
Thanks God, it is the extraordinary grace from the God for Indonesian people, where all our struggle and effort are granted, and now we can see the medals. Therefore, we must keep encouraging the athletes so that they can give the new medals for Indonesian contingent until September the 1st.
Imam Nahrawi further said two gold medals from the Indonesian badminton players, single player Jonathan Christie and double Kevin Sanjaya Marcus Gideon, have already been predicted since Indonesian badminton could get good achievement in various super series. For the achievement, The government promised to give bonuses not only for the winner of gold, silver, and bronze medals, but also the coaches and the assistants. According to Nahrawi, before, the 1.5 billion rupees bonus was only given to gold medalists, while bonus for silver and bronze medalists on Asian Games 2018 is different in each sports and will be given after the Asian Games ends in the next October. Head of General and Cooperation Section of Directorate General of Culture of Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, Ahmad Mahendra, in Jakarta on Tuesday, August 28, said that Indonesian cultural platform formed some time ago would be used to push the region to become independent and professional cultural festival organizer. Through the competency, each region is expected to be able to hold various cultural festivals with the audience which they develop from local cultures, values, and knowledge. According to Ahmad Mahendra, nowadays there are many regions in Indonesia which have realized the importance of local values and cultural advancement. They were also proud and very confident of their local values and culture. However, there were some of them which were not been able to promote their local values and culture. Therefore, Indonesian culture platforms was present to help them.
Memang perlu didorong ya, teman-teman di daerah itu perlu didorong.
So we need to push the people in the region to make them confident. We need to push them to be confident to the region so that the ideas will arise from them. We are just like public relation. They do not know what is social media like. But after holding the workshops, accompaniment from the public relations about how to have public relations, they will finally do it by themselves.
Furthermore, Ahmad Mahendra said that the local values and culture had considerable potency towards the advancement and prosperity of the society. Therefore, he encouraged all regions to seriously promote their local values and culture and to synergize with the central government through the Indonesian Cultural Platform. The Indonesian Cultural Platform has helped the government in various regions to hold four festivals from 13 festivals in 2018. The four festivals included Fohorai Festival in Belu, East Nusa Tenggara, International Gamelan Festival in Central Java, and the Saris Festival of Maun Sinitufu in Central Sulawesi. In addition, there were also other cultural festivals that would be held soon, including Multatuli Arts Festival in Lebak, Banten, Blora Folklore Festival in Blora, Central Java, and Saman Cultural Festival in Gayo Luwes, Aceh, the Nusantara Weaving Festival in North Tapanuli, North Sumatra, and Ambon International Bamboo Wind Music Festival in Ambon. Indonesian government is recently pushing special economic zone SEZ development in various regions in Indonesia. The aim is to attract more foreign investors to Indonesia. 12 special economic zones which are being built including tourism special economic zones in Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara, and Tanjung Kelayang, Bangka Belitung Island. However, for the tourism special economic zone development, the government is asked to be aware of social and cultural issues which emerge due to the economic activity exclusivity done by the foreign investors in the regions. The social and cultural issues will certainly become a problem for those involved in the special economic zones, including investors and the tourists who visit the place. It was conveyed by Economic Research Center researcher of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Masengsius Tri Sambodo, in media briefing related to the study in Mandalika Special Economic Zones and Tanjung Kelayang on Tuesday.
Nah, saya sempat membaca, Bu, referensi KEK di India, KEK pariwisata. Jadi, special tourism zone, Bu.
I have read special economic zone reference in India, that is tourism special economic zone. The special tourism zone is evidently opposed by Indian citizens. It is because there is enclave and that is not inclusive for them, where the high-class people go there, and the Indian citizens can only see the happiness. So the opposition might happen in Indonesia. They will wonder about what they get as the suburban society. That's what we concern about, and it's become the tourism special economic zone is the social and cultural issue.
we are different from the industrial nature. The social and cultural issue has been so many. So we hope that the tourists will come again just like in Bali. Maxentius added that the Indonesian government was asked to involve local socialists into the special economic zone economic activity to avoid the social and cultural issues. He said that the success of tourism special economic zone also needs science and technology role, and also the local society innovation. According to Maxentius, if a special economic zone area grows, it automatically needs food supply through the agricultural sector. Besides, potential disaster aspects and tourism facility security must also be considered so that the visitors are guaranteed safety in various conditions. The value of realized investment in Indonesia's manufacturing sector in the first half of 2018 reached 122 trillion rupiah in 10,049 projects, accounting for 33.6% of the overall investment over the period. Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto noted in a written statement released on Tuesday, his side actively encouraged the inflow of investment in the industrial sector. The construction of new plants has surely had a multiplier effect on the national economy, including increasing the added value of domestic raw materials, creating more jobs, and raising foreign exchange earnings. He said the amount of realized domestic and foreign investments in the industrial sector in the first semester of 2018 stood at 46.2 trillion rupiahs and 75.8 trillion rupiahs, or about $5.6 billion, respectively. The food industry was the biggest contributor to the realization of domestic investment in the manufacturing sector with 21.9 trillion rupiahs or 47.50%, followed by the chemical and pharmaceutical industry with 6.4 trillion rupiahs or 14.04%, and metal, machine and electronic industry with 5.8 trillion rupiahs or 12.70%. Meanwhile, the metal, machine, and electronic industry dominated the realization of foreign investment in the manufacturing sector with $2.2 billion or 39.69%, followed by the chemical and pharmaceutical industry with $1.1 billion or 18.88%, and food industry with $586 million or 10.41%. The minister remarked that the injection of funds from investors served as a driving force for the national economy. Moreover, industry is the main engine of the nation's economic growth. State-owned energy company PT Pertamina is expected to be able to use all Indonesia's crude oil production to be fed into its refineries in 2019. Minister for State Enterprises Rini Sumarno sat on board a ferry on her way from Merak, Banten to Bakahuni on Wednesday that the target is in 2019 all crude oil produced in Indonesia would be used by PT Pertamina. Pertamina has to spend large foreign exchange for the import of crude oil to feed its oil refineries, as most of the country's crude oil production by oil contractors is exported. Indonesia, once member of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, has become a net importer of oil on shrinking domestic production and fast-growing domestic consumption. Rini Sumarno and a number of leaders of state construction companies are to inspect the progress made in the construction of the Stoughton Sumatra section of the Trans-Sumatra toll route from Bakahuni to Palembang on Wednesday and Thursday. Rini said, Pertamina, under its new chief executive, Nika Widyawati, is expected to reduce imports of crude oil by using all domestic production to feed its refineries. She said, Pertamina is also expected to start implementing a plan to build more oil refineries to reduce the country's dependence on imports for oil products, mainly oil fuels. Jagat or Alms Collection Center of Malaysia Alliance Region Islamic Council established cooperation with Indonesian National Jagat Agency.
The cooperation is in effort to stabilizing matters and sharing experience of Jakat management. It was said by Chief Executive Officer of Jakat Collection Center Ahmad Shukri Yusuf to the reporters in Kuala Lumpur on Tuesday. Jakat or Arms Collection Center and Indonesian National Jakat Agency are planned to sign the cooperation agreement in World Jakat Forum in Melaka in November 2018. The cooperation includes staff exchange, IT development cooperation, and digital development program. Ahmad Shukri Yusuf said that his party could not wait to share the experience and Jakat management rules by Indonesian National Jakat Agency, which was seen to be more efficient related to taking and collecting Jakat in Indonesia. In their visit to Jakarta, the delegation of Jakat Collection Center held a meeting with head of Indonesian National Jakat Agency, Professor Dr. Bambang Sudibyo, to arrange the cooperation, which will be signed in November. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with commentary. Today entitled, Australia's New Prime Minister and Its Impact on Indonesia. Indonesia's closest southeastern neighbor, Australia, has a new head of government. The country is now led by a new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who replaced Malcolm Turnbull through an internal election of the ruling Liberal Party. The substitution made Australia the country that most often changes Prime Minister in a relatively short time. In about 8 years, the Prime Minister in Australia has changed 5 times. Nevertheless, it must be noted that the change of leadership has taken place in a peaceful atmosphere, without turmoil and riots. The series of prime minister changes began when Kevin Rudd of the Australian Labour Party defeated John Howard of the Liberal Party. After just ruling for about 3 years, Rudd was replaced by Julia Gillard, who was his own deputy. Julia Gillard, who a vote carried out inside the Labour Party, which was then in power in Parliament. The internal upheaval of the Labour Party happened again. About 3 years later, there was another internal turmoil in the Labour Party, which encouraged the election of the leader. In Labour Party internal voting, Kevin Rudd was re-elected and therefore became the Prime Minister again for the second time. For political reasons, Kevin Rudd then dissolved Parliament, which resulted in the holding of the federal election in 2013. Through the elections, the majority of voters supported the Liberal Party, which made Tony Abbott the 20th Australian Prime Minister. About 2 years in power, due to internal conflicts of the Liberal Party, Abbott was challenged by one of the ministers, Malcolm Turnbull, in an internal vote until Turnbull finally won the majority of the votes and became Prime Minister. It wasn't until 3 years later, Turnbull seemed to taste his own medicine after his political intrigue of toppling Tony Abbott. 5 days ago, in an internal vote, he was overthrown by one of his ministers, Scott Morrison. It seems that for Australia, the frequent change of Prime Minister is no longer considered extraordinary. The law of the country allows to change the Prime Minister before the term of office expires, insofar as the internal ruling party agrees. The party's internal coup, anyway, did not cause turmoil in the community. However, as an observer said, the change in the reins of government can be seen as an internal instability of the ruling party, whether it's the Labour Party or the Liberal Party. As the closest neighbour, Indonesia certainly monitors developments in Australia.
because after all, the change of each leader will certainly have an impact on policy changes, including the perspective and foreign policy of Australia. Time has noted that the relations between Indonesia and Australia had experienced ups and downs. Australia's new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, for instance, had caused controversy when he was still serving as Immigration Minister in 2014. He caused the relationship between Australia and Indonesia heated up. His policy of repatriating asylum seekers made the Indonesian people angry for forcibly repatriating two Indonesian immigrants. Indonesia is still looking forward to how the new Australian Prime Minister, who BBC UK calls a pragmatic figure, will act. That was our commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. In today's edition, we will present you information about events occurred on August 29. We start from birthday of the Indonesian House of Representatives. A day after the proclamation of independence, precisely on August 18, 1945, the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, PPKI, established the 1945 Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia. Since that time, the implementation of state is based on the regulations of the 1945 Constitution. In accordance with the transitional regulation on August 29, 1945, the Central Indonesian National Committee was formed consisting of 137 members. The Central Indonesian National Committee was claimed to be the pioneer of Legislative Council in Indonesia. August 29, 1945 was then established as the anniversary of the Indonesian House of Representatives. We continue to the next event. The Soviet Union conducts atomic bomb tests. On August 29, 1949, the Soviet Union conducted its first atomic bomb trial surreptitiously. Therefore, since that time, the United States did not longer dominate the control of atomic bomb. The state of balance between the United States and Russia is called the frightening equality. In such situation, both parties prevented themselves from deploying atomic bomb due to the concern of attack from the enemy side. Since that time, the United States and the Soviet Union were involved in a propaganda war, which is known as the Cold War. The war happened between the West and the East Bloc, lasted until the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. We end today in history with information about Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina is one of the deadliest disasters in American history. The hurricane occurred on August 29, 2005, destroyed part of the United States of America from Louisiana to Florida Panhandle. Louisiana and Mississippi were two states with the most severe impacts of the hurricane. 80% of New Orleans was flooded heavily after embankments could hold water anymore. Thousands of buildings were greatly damaged and victims reached 1,800 people. 1 million people should be evacuated. At that time, emergency status was applied. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Indonesian Ministry of Cooperative Small and Medium Enterprises prepare special companion. Deputy Assistant for Business Assistance of Indonesian Ministry of Cooperative Small and Medium Enterprises, Evianti Nasution, said that the ministry prepares assistance as an effort to increase the quality and small and medium enterprises or SME human resources competency that would improve digital village pattern of small and medium enterprises in various regions in Indonesia. Evianti Nasution in Jakarta on Sunday 26th of August explained that her office synergized digital SME village development programs with Integrated Business Service Center. The Integrated Business Service Center is non-financial service provider institution. The institution connects relationship for cooperatives and micro, small, and medium enterprises. The task was to improve production performance, marketing performance, access to financing, development of human resources through the enhancement of entrepreneurial capacity, and others. Throughout 2018, it has been successfully developed 29 integrated business service centers in cooperation with PT Telkom in the development of digital SME villages in 25 provinces and 27 districts and cities. The state-owned enterprises provided internet access so that it was expected that SME actors in the villages would be more able to use digital technology. The program has been developed since 2016. It is expected that the office can actualize other 49 integrated business service centers to develop the digital SME villages this year. The target determination to develop more digital SME villages was constrained since not all provinces in Indonesia had adequate fiber optic networks. However, Evianti Nasution was optimistic that in the future digital SME villages could be developed continuously because the SME centers should utilize information technology comprehensively and integratively to support their business processes. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo departed to a special region of Yogyakarta province in a bid to attend the opening of Mahasabha, or the 11th National Congress of Hindu Dharma Students Association. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi is proud of Indonesian contingent achievements on the Asian Games 2018. After the 11th day, the Indonesian contingent has got 24 gold, 19 silver, and 29 bronze medals. Head of General and Cooperation Section of Directorate General of Culture of Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, Ahmad Mahendra, in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the Indonesian cultural platform formed some time ago would be used to push the region to become independent and professional cultural festival organizer. Indonesian government is recently pushing special economic zone development in various regions in Indonesia. The aim is to attract more foreign investors to Indonesia. The value of realized investment in Indonesia's manufacturing sector in the first half of 2018 reached 122 trillion rupiahs in 10,049 projects, accounting for 33.6% of the overall investment over the period. State-owned energy company PT Pertamina is expected to be able to use all Indonesia's crude oil production to be fed into its refineries in 2019. Minister for State Enterprises Rini Sumarno sat on board a ferry on her way from Merak Banten to Bakahuni on Wednesday that the target is that in 2019, all crude oil produced in Indonesia would be used by Pertamina. Jakarta or ALMS Collection Center of Malaysia, ALMS Region Islamic Council, established cooperation with Indonesian National Jakarta Agency. The cooperation is in effort to stabilizing matters and sharing experience of Jakarta management. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in Central Java. Stay with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, the beauty of nature in Central Java does not deviate from other regions in Indonesia. Just say it, Karanganyar. There is waterfall, which is quite known, namely Grojokan Sewu. There is also beautiful hidden waterfall, namely Jumok Waterfall. Listeners, Jumok Waterfall is often mentioned as hidden heaven in Karanganyar. It is said like that because its location is behind hill, which is closed by bus. In the past, the tourism destination was not visited by many tourists. Due to the local people's awareness, the road to the location can be accessed easily. Thus, Jumok Waterfall becomes one of the mainstay tourism destinations which increases the local people's income. Listeners, at Jumok Waterfall Complex, we can witness a few of green and tall trees which are a perfect blend, including gurgling sound of water that calms the heart when going down 116 stairs until the waterfall. After going down the stairs around several meters from the waterfall, there is a small bridge. The place is spot which is the most right place to enjoy panorama, which has height around 30 meters with strong water flow. The sweep of waterfall makes the wind blow strongly. Listeners, the facility at Jumok Waterfall Complex is quite complete. At the complex, there are available kids' playground, swimming pool, gazebo, area for taking a race, and restaurant. Around the tourism destination area, there are some residences, which usually become homestay. The tariff of the homestay varies, beginning from 50,000 rupiah until 250,000 rupiah per night. Listeners, Jumok Waterfall is located at Berjo Hamlet, Ngargoyoso District, Karanganyar Regency, Central Java Province. If you want to go to destination, you can go to Karang Pandan Terminal. Afterwards, you can take the access to Ngargoyoso. From here, there are many directions which will help you heading to Jumok Waterfall. The That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Jumok Waterfall in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is makanan pedas, or in English, spicy foods. Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about makanan pedas, or in English, spicy foods. It is a conversation between Tony and a doctor. Tony is ill. He's taken by Joko to see a doctor. The doctor checks Tony's condition.
Anda terkena diare.
Hmm.
Saya akan memberikan resep. Apa Anda punya alergi terhadap obat?
Tidak, dok.
Oke, ini resep obatnya. Oh iya, jangan makan makanan yang pedas dan asam untuk sementara waktu.
Baik dokter, terima kasih.
After the conversation, I will introduce some expressions related to the topic today, makanan pedas, or in English, spicy foods. I will say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Anda terkena diare. Anda terkena diare. In English, you have diarrhea. Saya akan memberikan resep. Saya akan memberikan resep. In English, I will give you a prescription. Anda punya alergi terhadap obat? Anda punya alergi terhadap obat? In English, are you allergic to any medications? Ini resep obatnya. Ini resep obatnya. In English, here is the prescription. Jangan makan makanan yang pedas dan asam untuk sementara waktu. Jangan makan makanan yang pedas dan asam untuk sementara waktu. In English, please do not eat spicy and sour foods for temporary. Baik dokter. Baik dokter. In English, okay doctor. In the dialogue, the doctor forbids Tony from eating spicy and sour foods. To prohibit someone from doing something, we use the word jangan, then followed by verb. For example, jangan minum air es, or in English, do not drink cold water. Jangan minum obat itu, or in English, do not take the medicine. Besides the word jangan, you can also use dilarang and tidak boleh to make prohibitions. For example, Anda tidak boleh mandi air dingin. Or in English, you may not take a bath with cold water. Or, saya dilarang makan udang oleh dokter. Saya dilarang makan udang oleh dokter. In English, I'm not allowed to eat prawn by a doctor. Please pay attention and learn the use of jangan, dilarang, and tidak boleh on the examples below. Examples. Jangan minum air es. Jangan minum air es. Do not drink cold water. Saya dilarang minum air es. Saya dilarang minum air es. In English, I'm not allowed to drink cold water. Dilarang minum air es. Dilarang minum air es. In English, do not drink cold water. Kamu tidak boleh minum air es. Kamu tidak boleh minum air es. You may not drink cold water. Tidak boleh minum air es. Tidak boleh minum air es. You may not drink cold water. Now, I will give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan, bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Waktu bekerja saya hari Senin sampai hari Jumat dari jam 8 pagi sampai jam 4 sore dan jam istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1 siang. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today, we will present you several works performed by Ipang. Ipang, or known by his full name Irfan Fahri Lazuardi, was born in Bandung on January 6, 1972. In Indonesian music industry, Ipang was the vocalist of two Indonesian bands, namely the Plastic Band and B.I.P. To initiate our segment today, let us listen to a song, please. Enjoy the song.
Saja berakhir hujan di sore ini menyisakan keajaiban kilauan indahnya pelangi. Tak pernah terlewatkan dan tetap mengaguminya. Kesempatan seperti ini tak akan bisa dibeli. Bersamamu ku habiskan waktu, senang bisa mengenal dirimu. Rasanya semua begitu sempurna, sayang untuk mengakhirinya. Keterbatasan, walau sedikit kemungkinan, takkan menyerah untuk hadapi hingga sedih tak mau datang lagi. Bersamamu ku habiskan waktu, senang bisa mengenal dirimu. Rasanya semua begitu sempurna, sayang untuk mengakhirinya. Janganlah berganti, janganlah berganti, janganlah berganti.
tetaplah seperti ini. Oh, janganlah berganti, yeah, janganlah berganti.
Listener, you have just listened to Ipang with his song Sahabat Kecil or The Childhood Friend. And this song is a soundtrack of Indonesia's notable movie entitled Laskar Pelangi or The Rainbow Troops. The lyrics of Sahabat Kecil portray the emotion of a person who truly enjoys the childhood moments he had spent with his childhood friend. Having accompanied by his friend brings him spirit to achieve his dreams and joyfulness. Unfortunately, the beautiful childhood moments he had with his friend cannot be rewind. Listener, many songs of Ipang are dominated by the sound of guitar. Although they sound simple, Ipang's vocal character successfully lingers in the mind of Indonesian music enthusiasts. In the next song we will present, entitled Tentang Cinta or It's About Love, we will find out how Ipang's vocal character can captivate its listeners. Dominated by the sound of guitar and followed by the melodious sound of violin, the song Tentang Cinta tells about two lovers who have promised to love each other. However, he has to accept the bitter truth as his dearest love does not truly love him. Here is Tentang Cinta by Ipang.
Sekilas tentang dirimu yang lama ku nanti, memikat hatiku. Jumpamu pertama kali, janji yang pernah terucap untuk satukan hati kita, namun tak pernah terjadi. Mungkinkah masih ada waktu yang tersisa untukku? Mungkinkah masih ada cinta di hatimu? Andaikan saja aku tahu kau tak hadirkan cintamu, ingin ku melepasmu dengan pelukan. Sesal yang datang selalu takkan membuatmu kembali. Maafkan aku yang tak pernah tahu, hingga semuanya pun kini telah berlalu. Maafkan aku. Maafkan aku. tersisa untukku. Mungkinkah masih ada cinta di hatimu? Andaikan saja aku tahu kau tak hadirkan cintamu, ingin ku melepasmu dengan pelukan. Mungkinkah masih ada waktu yang tersisa untukku? Mungkinkah masih ada cinta di hatimu? Andaikan saja aku tahu kau tak hadirkan cintamu, ingin ku melepasmu dengan pelukan. Ingin ku melepasmu dengan pelukan. Ingin ku melepasmu dengan pelukan.
Listener, besides doing a solo career, Ipang is also well known as the soundtrack producer of several Indonesian movies such as Laskar Pelangi or The Rainbow Troops, Realita, Cinta, dan Rock and Roll, or Reality, Love, and Rock and Roll, and Republic Twitter, or The Republic of Twitter. Ipang admitted that he had dreamed of producing songs for Indonesian movies since 1999. And he finally accomplished the dream in 2005. Listener, next we will listen to a song produced by Ipang entitled Teruslah Bermimpi or Keep Dreaming for a movie named Sang Pemimpi or The Dreamer. Well, listener, enjoy this song.
Apa yang kau takutkan dengan semua ini? Bukankah kesedihan sering kita alami? Keadaan ini buat kita terbiasa. Oh, dengarkan ku bicara, teruslah bermimpi, walau kenyataan. Teruslah bermimpi, jangan berhenti. Percayalah, lelah ini hanya sebentar saja. Jangan
saja. Jangan menyerah. Walaupun tak mudah meraihnya, tetap tersenyumlah biar semakin mudah. Karena kesedihan pun ternyata hanya sementara.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpi? Cerita yang kamu tunggu, jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Menunggu semua yang masih belum pasti, menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya darimu. Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.